The answer past, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today we're going to talk about renunciation and the mind. Because I asked two of our monks, what shall I talk about on Sunday? One said renunciation and the other said the mind. Here we go, renunciation and the mind. It seems like they go together. Renunciation is one of those words that kind of can strike a chill into the heart. It sounds like self-denial. Letting, you know, getting rid of all the things we like, all the nicenesses of life, wrenching them out of our heart so we can become a good person. And it's not quite like that. Or you can think, renunciation sounds lovely. I can simplify. I can get rid of all these horrid little details of my life and have it all pure. And all the clutter gone. Go off into the woods and the mountains and just live a simple, renunciatory life. And that's not it. Renunciation kind of sounds like repudiation or rejecting something. I'm renouncing something. And I don't think that's it either. We're not getting rid of something. And I kind of like Reverend Hubert's translation of leaving something behind in his chapter in the Shobogenzo about renunciation. For monks, he calls it leaving home life behind. Not rejecting something, but just leaving it behind, moving on. And for monks, it's specific. It means leaving behind our family, our old relationships, our old friends, our career, our old habits, our distractions, our stuff, our car, our house, our skis, our camping equipment, our books, all the thousandfold things that we've been deeply attached to. Leaving them behind because we're moving on. And this is the same for all of us, whether we're monks or lay people. We actually, in our training, we keep moving on. And we're leaving things behind. We're not throwing them out or getting rid of them. We just leave things behind. They kind of drop off. And sometimes they drop off with a bit more ease than others. There's this nice story about this Catholic monk and his little bit of pencil. I don't know if I told you this, but I really like it, so I'll tell you again. Nice story about this. A Catholic, he's a priest, and then he becomes a monk. And he doesn't have much stuff. It's a very, very simple life. But he has this little pencil with a little eraser on one end, a little stub of pencil, just, you know, tiny. And he loves this little pencil because it's his. And it's something he uses to make his notes and write in his diary and all this stuff. And one day he looks at this little thing. He says, he sees how much he attaches to this little pencil. And he gives it away to somebody who doesn't appreciate it at all. But with this giving away this little stub of pencil, he felt a huge lightening of the heart because he was able to let it go. And I really like that story, just his little stub of pencil, just was like the whole thing. And most of us have more than a little bit of pencil, and we don't have to actually get rid of something generally, but sometimes we do. Sometimes we see that we really made something a misery for ourselves and we need to let it go. There's another story I read recently in by one of the disciples of Ajahn Chah, the great forest master who had this very, you know, kind of strict monastery out in the forest of Thailand. But it was strict in funny ways, not quite like you'd expect. And this monk is an American monk. He's been there quite a short time, and he's dying for something sweet. They don't eat afternoon. He doesn't get a lot of food because he has trouble eating the food. So he's really skinny, really hungry, and dying for something sweet. So he writes to a lay supporter in Bangkok, says, could you send me some sugar cakes? They're allowed to eat sugar cakes, I guess. Months go by. Finally, this package arrives. Huge package with ants, means there's sugar cakes inside. So they say, oh, what's this package? You know, he says, oh, something for a lay supporter. Runs away to his kuti with it, opens it up, sees the sugar cakes, stuffs down huge quantities of them, makes himself almost sick with these things, scarfs them down. And then thinks, I should probably have shared these with people, you know. So he takes the rest of them and brings them to tea, or keeps some aside for himself. And then he brings the rest to tea. And Sir Ajahn Chah calls everyone together. They all have tea, have a nice treat. But then he's got these ones he's got left over. And he, you know, eats these in the evenings, but they become a burden, really a misery for him. And he eats them, and he feels miserable because he's eating them by himself. He's been selfish. And he doesn't enjoy them at all. He has this horrible time with these things. And then he goes around to everybody's kuti and kind of gives them away here and there, falls down in the dark, gets bitten by ants, hurts himself with these wretched cakes, you know, finally gets home with what's left of them, and next day thinks, this is ridiculous, and he gives the rest of them away to one of the other monks, and he's done with it. But then he goes and tells Ajahn Chah. He says, you know, I feel so awful. I'm this terrible monk. You know, I just was unable to control my greed. I got these cakes, and I ate them, and had all this stuff. And Ajahn Chah just roars with laughter and gets him to laugh too, because he can just let it go. But he sees it's a wonderful lesson in how clinging can be a huge burden. He was so much better off without them, but he really learned something. And I'm sure next time he had the craving for sugar cakes, he thought, ah, I've been here before. Maybe I'll let it go. You know, it's a really nice story. Perfect. So, renunciation is not just letting go of material things, our car, our skis, our books, and so forth, but it's actually something of the mind, because renunciation is a mental thing. We can use the things. Rav Master Jiyu had all kinds of things that she would make use of. She had Barbie dolls. She would go to Toys R Us on Saturday morning. Anyone who's been to Toys R Us on a Saturday morning knows what it is like. She would go among all the kids and the mothers and the screaming little creatures and everything, go straight to the Barbie section and look at the things and find what she wanted and take them, buy them and go home, because she would use them. And she would use them to teach the monks. And she'd dress them up in different ways and have, you know, people make little clothes for them, and she'd have the male monks making furniture for them, and the construction department was making little tiny tables and chairs and things, and some of us are making little curtains and dresses. And it was a real koan for us, making these things sometimes. Because we would, you know, you've got buildings to build, and you're making a little table 2 inches high. Really good. She would use these things, and she'd really, you know, take care of them. But she was not clinging to them. She'd get them, she'd use them, and she'd, you know, put them away after a while. But sometimes she'd just get something and like it, and then she'd let it go. But she didn't, her happiness never depended on these things. She wasn't overjoyed when she got one and distressed when it broke or died or somebody lost it or something like that. She'd let them all come through her life. She'd make use of them and she'd let them go. And that was a real lesson for us. She would use these things and she would see the potential in things, both for teaching the monks and for doing things like making a little traveling altar or a little thing you could put a small kesa in to wear around your neck, something like that. She would use all these things, but she didn't, her happiness did not depend on them. So she could use them all with an open hand, not a kind of closed fist. So it's not the stuff, it's the mind. We don't have to get rid of all our stuff in order to practice renunciation. It's letting go. It's leaving something behind. And sometimes they're things, but often it's the mental stuff that we have in our mind. All our attachments, the things we cling to, the things that create suffering for us. One of our monks just said this, it's laying down the burden. And it's not like a huge one-time thing. Here I'm going to renounce, you know. And suddenly everything falls off, or you cart everything away, you know. It's a moment-by-moment thing. Because it's something of the mind, we do it constantly. It really is purifying the mind, letting go of our attachment to the things of the mind that create suffering, setting down the burden of greed, anger, and delusion really is what we're renouncing. With greed is obvious, you know, renouncing greed, the things that we cling to, things we want, aversion to the things we don't want, but the things I like, the things I want to have, desire, the things that we possess, or the things we think we need, or trying to get something. And when we see that arise in the mind, maneuvering to get something, or wanting something, panting after something, to see that in the mind, ah, here I am wanting something, then we can relinquish the grip a little bit. When we don't notice the wanting, it pulls us and it influences us in ways we don't see. But when we see the wanting, the grasping onto something or the trying to get something, then we can see what we're up to and think, ah, do I want to go with this? It's all right. Maybe I can just let it go. Seeing the grasping and the consequences, and we can begin to leave it behind. We don't have to be all involved in maneuvering to get something. Sometimes it's good to get something, you know, but we don't have to be all obsessed with it. And the renunciation is a letting go of that grip. I have to have this thing. My happiness depends on it, you know. We know that's not so. And we see that, we think, ah, I can let go of that. I don't have to cling in that way. Renouncing anger and ill will, you know, seeing where we don't like something. We don't like a person very much, so we're a little averse to them, and we don't, you know, we're not as sympathetic as we might be. But we don't always notice that. We just kind of live our life, and we may be influenced by aversions without seeing them. But when we see them, ah, look what I'm doing. I'm being a bit unfair here. And then we can relinquish that, leave it behind, and move on. Our old grudges, our old resentments, things of the past. This person did this when I was young, and I never got over it, you know. Well, it may have left scars, it may have done something to us that we cannot eradicate, but we don't have to cling to a grudge or a resentment or a hatred. We can see it there and relinquish, leave it behind and move on. No matter what has happened, we can leave behind the hatred and the anger. We may have the scars, but we don't have to cling on to that. Renunciation of delusion. Delusion is always the hardest. It's the biggest and the hardest. And our greatest delusion is the delusion of the self being a me. And we have a lot invested in this. We create this me with all its likes and dislikes, the things I do, the things I wear, the things I think, my views, that I am, the way people treat me, the way I conduct myself, my opinions, my preferences, my views, my history, the things that have happened to me in my life. These are the things that make me a me. What other people think of me? And we spend a lot of time investing in this, protecting it, defending it, you know. If I'm right, I'm defending my rightness and looking good, you know, looking like I know where I'm going and what I'm doing. And seeing where we fall into this, where we protect this me, or where we cling on to our history, our story. I am this kind of a person. These things have happened to me. And that's what I am, you know. We talked about this last week. We can let it go, to see it and leave it behind. Justifying ourselves. Being in control of the situation, you know. If I'm not in control, who knows what's going to happen? I know what needs to be done, and I better make sure it happens. Maybe not. Having a say in things, not being powerless, you know. All these are forms of investing in a self. And when we see ourselves do that, we can say, ah, do I need to do this? Or can I just leave it behind? You know? A moment by moment seeing is what it is, this renunciation. Again, it's not something we do just once, one huge thing. We do it moment by moment, breath by breath, all the time, seeing where we're clinging to something, whether it's a thing we want, or clinging to our suffering, clinging to our ideas, clinging to our hopes, clinging to our security. What we want, what we don't want, what we like, what we don't like, what I am, clinging to all these things. And thinking more about this renunciation, it's a kind of fearlessness actually, because a lot of our clinging is from fear. Fear of losing something, you know. Fear of losing our security, our money, you know. What if I don't have enough? And then, you know, our worries about the future. Well, that may be a reasonable fear, but when you're worried and we're clinging, then we get into suffering there. If you can see that, I'm getting worried here, and I'm lying awake at night, or I'm maybe doing something that isn't really good because I'm worried and I think it's justified. But if I look clearly, I might say, do I want to do this? I don't think so. Much better to steer a steady course, see the fear arise, and relinquish that worry and clinging to security. Attachment to the body, to its comfort, its health, you know. We want to take care of it, but when we're really clinging to it out of fear of sickness and old age and dying, which is going to happen to us anyway, then we're creating a suffering. To see that and to leave that, in a sense, behind, seeing what we're doing and relinquishing that grip of fear. Other people's good opinion of us, our status, actually, you know, our view of ourselves, our dignity. These things are very pervasive, and to see these and see where we cling to them doesn't mean we have to make fools of ourselves. We do that anyway. we don't have to try. But to cling to some kind of looking like something, you know, it's a suffering. Trying to keep what we have, trying to make things stay the same and not change, because we actually tend to be afraid of change. And allowing things to change, seeing impermanence, accepting that, seeing how things move on, then we can leave behind the things that are already passing and move on with the flow of life as it is unfolding, not try to cling to the past. We all know people who get stuck in the past, cling to it, and are really unhappy because they seem to be unable to accept things as they are now. When a relationship has broken up, or children have left home, or something we used to have is gone, somebody who used to have prestige, old movie stars, you know, clinging to the past, it's gone, it's gone. Can they be happy now? Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. Letting go of the things we can leave behind. Willingness to change, for ourselves to change, not to cling on to what we used to be or what we used to have, but to just allow change to take place. Acceptance of that. This is renunciation. Letting go, moving on. To see our fear, the fear of losing what we seem to have, fear of the unknown, fear of the future, to see these fears and not be ruled by them, not trying to be in charge of everything, not trying to be in complete control of our life, because we're not, but to allow life to take us, to entrust ourselves to it, and relinquish that clinging to what we want, or what we think should be happening. Seeing where we may break the precepts because of fear or clinging, and letting go of that impulse. This is renunciation of the way of the world, turning towards the heart, accepting everything. In meditation, we sit and we try to let everything come and go. This is renunciation, letting all the thoughts, ideas, memories come into our mind and go, letting it all go through. This is renunciation. Moment by moment, again, not a one-off thing, moment by moment, we practice this renunciation. Seeing what's arising, not getting pulled off by it, letting it come in, letting it go out. This is how we purify the mind. And when we really do this, or when we really try to do this, this is renunciation. It's a change in perspective from clinging. Clinging to the self, clinging to what we want, clinging to what we don't want, clinging to our suffering, our ideas, who we used to be. It's a change of perspective from that, seeing that there's something else that is more important, turning towards that, the Buddha nature, which is constantly moving on, letting go, while accepting everything, not clinging to things. Buddha nature, which is within us and within all beings, turning to that and seeing that that is the most important thing. That is the thing to follow and to keep true to. Not the things of the self or of the world, other people's expectations, all those things, but towards, turning towards the Buddha nature over and over, as we do in meditation, as we do in daily life. Every time we keep the precepts, every time we have a moment of mindfulness, we're practicing renunciation. Because mindfulness is also the practice of renunciation. Just coming back. What am I doing? What's going on in my mind? Letting go of something. This is renunciation. Leaving behind those old things that we cling on to. Right now, the only moment we have is this moment right now. Past is gone, future doesn't exist. Just this one moment right now is all we have. And if we can keep coming back to that and seeing what we're doing with it, and to keep remembering what's really important, the turning of the heart towards the eternal, towards the Buddha nature, to keep doing that, that's renunciation, letting go, leaving behind the things we no longer need. Not throwing them away, just leaving them behind. And just staying right here with what's the most important thing. This we do over and over again, moment by moment, breath by breath, throughout our whole life. And this is what we do. And that's our talk for the day.